Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Let us listen to the word of God this morning. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When we were living in Tennessee, we drove past folks in bright orange vests cleaning up trash on the side of the road. On the back of their vest, it said, "I am a drunk driver." Now, I hadn't seen this before, so it took me by surprise, but initially I thought, that's pretty clever. It's one of Tennessee's punishment for DUI drivers, and it's one alternative to incarceration, a public shaming punishment. It made an impression on me, to say the least. Such an impression that I wondered, how would I feel after passing one of these people on the highway if my daughter, Siobhan, were in an accident by a drunk driver? Would I feel a sense of justice had been done? Would I feel intense rage or vindication? Would tears well up in my eyes? As human beings, we instinctually protect ourselves from harm. Therefore, it wouldn't be a surprise to react negatively toward a drunk driver. However, we also just read in Scripture that we're called to live differently. Christ calls us to do something radical, something that doesn't make much sense in our world. Christ calls us to the impossible task to love our enemies, which seems to go against the very fabric of who we are as humans. How would Jesus love drunk drivers picking up trash on the roadside? Now, I imagine Jesus would stop his car and help them pick up the trash. For us to do something like that, it's radical. It's nearly impossible. And that's the very difficulty, maybe the problem with following Christ. It's a very hard thing. In this passage, Jesus says it's easy to love the people who are nice to us. It's easy to love the lovable. But Jesus challenges his followers to love the people who aren't nice. If you want to live like Christ, then you will love the bullies. You'll love the coworkers or the boss who makes your days unlivable, or the ex-spouse who knows how to push your buttons, or those people who are mean to your families, or those who simply ignore you. We live in a world that teaches us to seek revenge, to cower in danger, to live in fear. But living this way doesn't provide peace or joy or happiness. In fact, it usually does the exact opposite. It gives us anxiety. It creates hostility and anger, a thirst that's unquenchable. However, God's created us to live differently. Jesus calls his followers to retrain how they act and how they react in the world. That's what this passage is getting at. Yes, it's telling us to go against our very instinct, to do the impossible, to love in such a radical way that we would be willing to walk side by side with criminals. Jesus calls his followers to a better way, to a life that provides peace and joy and love. And Jesus' call is to transform the whole self, not just with radical love, but also to live into radical mercy, radical generosity. Now, living this way doesn't always lead us to sunshine and butterflies. You probably all remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey's Uncle Billy, he loses $8,000. And he's in way over his head, and his business is going to go under. George Bailey tried to do all these good things, radically loving his enemies, doing good to everyone, even if they didn't deserve it, lending to those expecting nothing in return. But now George Bailey, he can't take it anymore. It's Christmas Eve, and he's convinced that he's worth more dead than alive. So he's on this bridge, ready to commit suicide. He's tried to live differently, and little does he know how living radically actually makes a difference. Of course, we all know what happens next. An angel cleverly shows up, and George instinctively jumps in to save him. So George never actually commits suicide, because he's programmed to react differently, to help others. And George is so hard to convince, the angel decides to show him what life would have been like if he never existed. We learn in this movie that George lives differently than others. He gave up things in his life so that others around him live well. He gave up his dreams, his education, his house, but he almost threw in the towel too early. And by the end of the movie, he discovers it's all worth it because he chose something greater, to live into radical love and radical generosity. And at the very end, he discovers radical mercy. He's able to even forgive himself. In just a few weeks, Lent will begin, and it's a season that reminds us that we all struggle on this journey to the cross. We all have missed the mark. We will continue to hurt others. We will turn our backs to God. We all sent Christ to the cross. But it's in this passage where Christ teaches us to choose a different way, to love our enemies, to forgive the undeserving, to choose radical generosity. Jesus doesn't just say these things. He lives this way. Jesus gives generously to you and me. God became human and gave us life. He cried and healed and sacrificed everything for you and me. Jesus loves you and me, even his disciples who sold him and deserted him. While we don't deserve love, Jesus went to the cross for us. Jesus gives grace to you and me. We will disappoint. We will hurt others. We'll miss that mark, but we don't deserve the mercy. Jesus still dies for us. Now, the best gift we can give someone doesn't cost any money, but it does require us to do the impossible, to live radically, loving our enemies, extending mercy to the undeserving, which is everyone, and living generously, just as God has incredibly done to each one of us. Pastor Gordon MacDonald reminds us, the world can do almost anything as well or better than the church. You need not be a Christian to build houses, to feed the hungry, to heal the sick. There is only one thing the world cannot do. It cannot offer grace. I learned many life lessons from my wife. When we were in seminary, Siobhan didn't get along very well with a classmate. She wasn't an enemy in the classic sense, of course, but they didn't see eye to eye. So they didn't get along. Eventually, she decides that she should pray for her classmate, for her enemy. She quickly discovers that she couldn't pray for her very well without getting to know her at all. So Siobhan starts asking some questions, and eventually she discovers that her classmate's father is extremely ill and is incredibly worried about him. Siobhan had a similar experience just a few years before then. Her dad had a major heart attack and instantly understood how her classmate felt. Siobhan prayed fervently for her classmate's father. As time went on, and as Siobhan continued to pray for her classmate, she discovered it was difficult to be upset with this classmate that she started now understanding a little better. It taught me a lot about what Christ really desires for us. It taught me that if you have an enemy, the easiest way to radically love them is to start praying for them. It's hard to pray for an enemy without learning their needs and struggles. When our enemy becomes human with real feelings, we discover they hurt too, that they care about others, that they love others too. God has created us to live differently, to go against our very instinct, to do the impossible. Jesus calls us to live radically, to retrain how we act and react in this world, for us to transform our whole self. Radical love, radical mercy, radical generosity. And when we live this way, we will have peace, we'll have life, we'll have freedom. In 1999, Carol and Larry's 26-year-old daughter, Amy, was killed in a mugging. She was a social worker living in Brooklyn and on her way home from a support group meeting for abused women. Amy was an ordinary girl from Kansas, good-looking and loving. She was killed with a knife on the streets of New York, carrying her groceries home from work. She was too young. Her murder went unsolved for 17 months before a tip led the police to Margot's son. He confessed. Yet instead of enmity and revenge, Carol and Larry offered Margot something radical: friendship. They've bonded. They say, "Margot is our sister in Christ," Carol declares. Radical? Yes. Impossible? Yes. There's only one thing the world cannot do. It can't offer grace. We have one who has offered us grace. To do the impossible, to transform the whole self, radical love and generosity and grace. These are the things that provide everlasting peace, life, and joy. That's how we share love with this world. Deserving and the undeserving. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.